So does everybody know what time it is? No, I am not Tim the Toolman Taylor. Thank you. But we do like that show. It's kind of a fun show. We enjoy it. And kind of was a little surprised that the Lord would do this in such a way. Pastor and I, when we first started this internship, he said, I want you to preach from something that you're learning in this internship. And, well, the first book that I had to read was a book on time management. And although I'm sure that the Lord could have given me something on time management, that just wasn't happening. And about the middle of March, I'm beginning to get a little stressed out about this thing and just not real sure that this is going to work. Well, then there's another book that I had to read on preventing ministry failure, preventing ministry burnout. And this is kind of a heart thing for me. It's a thing that's close to my heart because I've been able to minister through the counseling center to several pastors who've gone through burnout. And so it really kind of piqued my curiosity. And when we got into this particular topic, it just dropped in my heart that this is what I need to share. It's kind of an interesting topic. So I've been praying about it and putting it together and looking at Scripture and realizing that Paul kind of talked about these tools and gifts and how it all works together, how it all kind of puts together. I look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and I see that Paul has kind of given us an overview of gifts in the Spirit. We're all given gifts. Some of us are preachers, some of us are pastors, some of us discern spirits, some of us speak in tongues, some people interpret tongues, some people have gifts of administration. All through this chapter, there are various gifts mentioned. Every one of us has a gift that God has given us. You may not know what your gift is yet, and that's okay, but part of your growth process needs to be discovering what this gift is in you. And just as a little sidebar, there are assessments either online or here in our counseling that can help you kind of begin to discover what those giftings are. And I would encourage you to really begin to look at what your gifting is. Some people are evangelists, some people are teachers, some people just different things that God has given you so that you can together we can all build up the kingdom of God. We can all grow the kingdom, and we can grow through our gifts as well. So that's what Paul does in this chapter. We're going to get into the scriptures in just a minute, so bear with me here. So that's the thing is we have giftings. We have the reason for the giftings is to build up the body of Christ, to bring it to a higher place, to a different level. To encourage each other, to minister to each other, to minister to those who are unsaved, to minister outside these walls. And so God has given us these gifts. He's also given us something called personality. And this is where the chapter in this book has come in, the study of personality. Now, in counseling, one of the things we do is we study people. We study their personality, who they are, what makes them tick. A lot of stuff underneath the surface of who you are. And personality, quite easily, simply described, is what makes you you. One author put it, it's what makes you you-ier. Interesting way of putting it, okay? I like that. What makes you you-ier? What makes you you? Some people have a great personality. They're happy. They're outgoing like Brian, you know. You always know where Brian is because you can hear that laugh, right? Love the laugh. And other people are really nice and quiet and you know, you don't always hear from them. Maybe like Don way in the back there. You don't always hear peeps from him. And that's okay. That doesn't make Brian any better than Don. It just means that that's his personality. That's who we are. Our personality. Well, we began studying personality even long before Christ. A gentleman by the name of Hippocrates, some of you may have heard of him, he was the father of medicine. He began to study the human being, the body, the mind, everything about who we are. one of the things he discovered was we have different, what he called, temperaments. And as he studied some more, he realized that some of these temperaments probably were caused by some of the fluids that we have in our bodies. We all have these fluids, and depending on how these fluids worked, gave us a different temperament, and that's the way he saw it. And you probably recognize some of these names of these temperaments, such as sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic. Now, these are big, fancy words. I'm gonna straighten them out for you so that you kind of have an idea about them. The sanguine word means the blood. That's the fluid in our body, the blood. And Hippocrates figured, can I have a little bit more light, please? I color-coded everything, and it doesn't work in the dark. So our sanguine personality, because of the blood in our body, said that we were cheerful. Everybody was cheerful because, well, they have blood. And that's a good thing to be cheerful about, right? The next thing was the choleric, and that was because we have something called yellow bile in our bodies. That meant that we were a little irritable. And I don't know about you, if I have yellow bile in my body, I might be a little irritable too. The next one was the melancholic, and that was because of black bile, something he called black bile. And that meant that we were kind of depressed. Might be depressed too on that one. And the phlegmatic was phlegm, and that meant that we were calm. We were had a calm temperament. Well, that seemed to work for a while, but then it kind of didn't all put together right. And so other people began to study this. A gentleman by the name of Galen studied that, and he gave those titles, the sanguine and phlegmatic, and he gave them different temperaments. They were happy and joyful, and he did have some depression in there and that kind of thing, but he had a different take on it, and that was okay. We're still studying, and this is still new to people. This is the after Christ. And then other people in the early 1920s began to study, and they came up with something called a DISC temperament. And you're probably familiar with that. You've seen the circle with the four segments in it, different colors. And that kind of brought it together a little more accurately. And the DISC, the D-I-S, but it has different meanings for it. And then we come into the Christian viewpoint of temperament, of personality. A gentleman by the name of Dr. Mels Carbonell, but he and I have emailed back and forth, and I can pick his brain whenever I want, so I figure I can call him a friend. He and I have kind of discussed this, and he was the first one in the 1970s and 80s to begin to put together the Christian viewpoint of our personalities. And so he's kind of looking at the scriptures and looking at personalities in the scriptures and began to put that together. And then we began to put animals to this. Some people have kind of decided, well, these names are great, but they don't really mean a whole lot to people. So some people have decided that if you're the DISC, or the D, the dominant one, you're like a lion. And if you're the I, you're the bright, happy one, you're like an otter, and that type of thing. You've probably heard of that. Well, this has taken it a step further. A gentleman in probably the last 10 years, a pastor down in the southern states, put together this in the area of tools. And that's where we come to today, is we're going to discuss the tools, how our personality fits with a tool, various different tools. Keep in mind, though, we're looking at our gifting in the spirit, and we're looking at the tools, our personalities, and how they work together. Quite interesting. So I'll bet you're curious now as to what tool you might be. But let's go to the scriptures first. The scriptures tell us that as Paul put together this idea of the many gifts, he emphasized the fact that there was one God that gave us these gifts. And the thing I like about Paul is he's a teacher. And teachers will give you an object lesson. They'll give you something that you can get a hold of, that you can grab a hold of and see. And I relate with Paul a lot because I'm a picture person. When I hear something from someone, it kind of goes into pictures in my head. And so Paul has painted a wonderful picture here about the body, the gifting and the body. So he says in Corinthians chapter 14, 12, 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would for not for that reason being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were not an ear, where would the sense of seeing be, of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just so he wanted, where he wanted them to be. Down to verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Scripture also tells us in Romans that for just so each of us has one body with many members, and these members, they do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, through many, form the body, and each member belongs to all the others. Paul is telling us about the body. We have many parts of our body. As a matter of fact, we have systems in the body, whole groups of things that our body does. We have circulatory system. We have a digestive system. We have an endocrine system. We have something called an integumentary system, which is our skin. We have a lymphatic system, muscular system, and so forth and so on. We have lots of parts to our body. And that's what Paul is doing. He's paralleling all these gifts are parts of the body of Christ. You all, us, we're all part of this body. We all have different parts. Those different parts being the prophecy part of us, the speaking in tongues part of us, the interpretation part of us. All of those are parts of the body of Christ, just like our systems in the body are there. So we have these systems, we have all of this, and now we bring in our personality. How does that personality work with the body of Christ? Well, because we all have these parts of our bodies, because we all have these gifts, we have a personality. Remember, that's the part that makes us you-ear, makes you you-ear. So one of the first things that we have in our little toolbox here is a hammer. Yeah, okay, Al. We have a hammer. Hammers are really interesting people. If you are a hammer person, you probably are goal-driven. You may be assertive. You're daring. Are you daring, Al? Yeah? Maybe we ought to talk about that later, huh? You're one who enjoys a challenge. You're strong-willed and perhaps even a little bit pushy. Just a little, maybe. Okay. You are definitely unconquerable. Hammers are just that way. They're people that they've got to do it. They've got to get this thing done. They've got to work to get this thing done. And that's okay. Remember, none of these things are better than the other. Just because somebody might be hammered doesn't make them better. Just because somebody has prophecy as their gift doesn't make them better. It makes them part of the body. Okay? Some of the hammer's strengths are the ability to take charge. They're results-oriented and can see the big picture thing. They want to get things done. They want to work to get things done. They get the big picture. And sometimes, perhaps your weakness as a hammer person is you want to get things done. You sometimes will override people. Little lack of empathy, little lack of sympathy. Some people have called the hammer the steamroller because they just kind of roll over things. They forget that other people have different ways of looking at things. Well, the next thing I have, I don't have a prop, and that's okay, but I have a picture. How many of you know what that is? Yeah. How many of you have one? Anybody have one? Yeah. Okay, it's a Swiss Army knife. And in this particular assessment, they call it a versatile Swiss Army knife, and they are very versatile. You can open tuna cans, you can skin a fish, you can do all kinds of things with, make a screwdriver, you know, all those things with a Swiss Army knife. They're kind of fun, but they're dangerous. They don't let me around knives, so I couldn't carry one. I'm a little dangerous with a knife. And a Swiss Army knife current person is very creative. They're charming. They're open-minded. They're the kind of people that can walk up to someone and talk to them about anything immediately, on the spot, without even any preparation, without any kind of introduction. They just start in. They do it. Not to say that this is a bad or a good thing, but some of our politicians are that way. They can just walk up and, hey, how you doing? I'm running for office. Here's my card. I ran into one yesterday, and she gave me her card. She's, how you doing? And this is great. And I gave her one of our little first aid kits and my card, and we talked, and it was great. But that's what those Swiss Army knife people are. They're outgoing. They're creative. They've got the art kind of thing. They like the art. And sometimes they can be a little overwhelming. They're a networker. They're good. Their skills. They're good networkers. They do that sort of thing. They like people. They like all the action. They like being in the middle of it. And sometimes when their weakness are, they don't always follow through. They don't always finish the job. And that doesn't, again, it doesn't make this person bad or worse or the lesser person. It just means that that's who they are. That's who they are. The next thing I have, you all know what this is, right? Duct tape. Yeah, we love our duct tape. You can do all kinds of things with duct tape. They're very, you know, Alice that lives with us, our niece Alice that lives with us, loves to make wallets out of duct tape. You ever made stuff out of duct tape? I looked it up. Somebody made a dress out of duct tape. Going a little too far for me. That's just a bit much. But the duct tape people are sensitive people. They are, they don't like confrontation. They like things to be steady. They like things to kind of work together. They're faithful. They're faithful. We get into personality with the animals. The duct tape kind of person is like a golden retriever. They're just faithful. They do the job, they come back, they go do something else, they come back, they follow through, they get stuff done, but on a slower pace. They're not as very assertive, and that's okay. Duct tape, we need duct tape. We need duct tape things to put ducks together, right? That's what we do, yeah. So the last thing we have in our little box is tape measure. I love my tape measure. I think it's great. You can measure stuff with it, you can, you know, drop it on your foot and hurt yourself with it. I've done that so many times. And it's even got a clip. You know, I never realized until a couple of years ago that they had a clip on the back. You can clip them on your belt or whatever. So I don't have to drop it anymore. Tape measure people are interesting people. I can relate with tape measure people. They are the ones who love to read the instruction manual. Yeah. Okay. We got a tape measure person here. I'm the same way. You know, you get a book from IKEA and it's got all the little letters all over the place. I want the instruction manual. They're the people who are organized. They're the people who are administrative. They're the people who are they're safety driven. They're sensitive. They're introspective. They think kind of on the inside. You know, what am I feeling? What am I doing? What am I liking? They've got a lot of talents. They like facts. They like their facts and figures to be exact. We don't want to misquote anything. We don't want to make it wrong. We want the periods and the semicolons and the colons together. We want it all, that kind of thing. That's what we do as tape measure people. Our strengths are organization, management, detail-oriented. Our weaknesses are we take life too seriously sometimes. We just don't like to have fun sometimes. We are just can be considered micromanagers. because we like to control everything. So you've got these tools now. What do we do with them? We've got a personality. We've got a hammer personality. We've got a knife, Swiss Army knife personality. We've got the duct tape, and we've got the tape measure. How does this relate with our gifts? Well, if you have the gift of administration, and you're that organized person, and someone comes along who is perhaps someone who has the gift of prophecy, that prophet might be a hammer kind of person. And if that hammer kind of person comes along to that tape measure person and shuts them down and says, let's get this thing done, let's get this thing built, and I'm going to go in there and start building this wall. We're going to put this wall up. We're not going to stop. We're not going to collect $200. We're going to pass go here. We're just going to get this thing done. But then the tape measure person says, wait a minute. We have blueprints here. We have to look at the blueprints and figure out exactly where this wall goes, because if we're off by even, you know, a little bit, eighth of an inch or whatever, it's going to make it all wrong. Everything else will be off. The plumbing will have to be off, and the lighting will be off. And the hammer says, nope, 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 we're going to do this. What does that do for the tape measure person? It hurts them. It can damage them. If I hit that hammer onto that tape measure, it might break it or dent it at least. It would do some damage to it. And the same way with the duct tape person and the Swiss Army knife person. The Swiss Army knife person is the creative person. Oh, let's paint this wall pink, and let's paint this wall yellow, and we'll do this to the curtains, and we'll hang up the curtain and do all those sort of things. And the duct tape person says, well, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't do that. And they say, well, let's do it anyway. And the duct tape person kind of gives in, and then it all kind of doesn't work. And the hammer person comes along and says, you don't need to do that. We need to get this other thing done. We're trying to build the kitchen, and you're in here trying to paint things. And it's just, you know, we got to get things going here. Does this sound kind of familiar in a building church program? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, I've been there. Okay. Been there, done that. It can cause problems. To some degree, it can cause splits. In our church in Connecticut, kind of before we got there, but we heard about it. We really heard about it. The pastor wanted a particular color carpet in the sanctuary and in the fellowship, in the foyer. He liked red carpet. He wanted red carpet in there. Kind of that fuzzy felt red carpet, you know, that looked, it was great carpet. It was pretty, but when they went through different lighting, it looked differently. And the pastor was kind of that hammer type of person. He wanted what he wanted. He was going to push it through. He didn't, you know, he just didn't. And then other people, the duct tape people and the tape measure people and the creative, the Swiss Army knife people said, no, no, we can't do that. And then they all started looking at this carpet and the light, different light. And in the incandescent light, it looked nice and red and pretty. And then you got it in those 300-watt spotlights that they had, you know, 3,000-watt spotlights. And it looked a different color of red. And had this big old fight over carpet. And the duct tape people and the hammer people and the tape measure people, they were all fighting. That's not what God wants. Paul talks about, in this chapter, he talks about unity. We need to be in unity here. We need to work together. Our gifting and our personality has to work together. It has to be something that glorifies God. Our hammer can't go around controlling things, and our tape measure person can't go around micromanaging things. It just isn't going to work. So what do? We have to work things through. And you know something? One of the things with Dr. Carbonell, Mills Carbonell, he figured out this deal with the disc personality and a Christian mindset. And he looked at this through the lens of Scripture. And he kind of figured that different people in Scripture had different personalities. How does that work with all of this? How does that put together with people and how we think? Well, if we look at it, and again, this is purely subjective because we don't have Moses or Peter or any of the others that we're going to discuss to stand here and let's analyze them and let's give them the assessment to find out where they are. So take this with kind of what it is, okay? Don't put this as an exact science here. Dr. Carbonell studied this. He looked into the scriptures and the Greek and the Hebrew and all of the studies that we do in scriptures. And this is what he came up with. He figured that the Apostle Paul, he figured Paul was a powerful hammer. Paul was, he was a go-getter. He was the kind of person that would just move forward regardless of what was going on. Even though he was shipwrecked and even though he went through all that he went through, he still pushed through. He still went through all that he did, coming out the other end. Sometimes upsetting people. And when you upset people, sometimes you get thrown in jail. And that's what Paul did. But he kept persevering. He kept doing. He kept marking time. He kept writing, doing all those things. So Paul was possibly a hammer worth thinking about. And Peter. Peter was one of those Swiss Army knife people. He was excited. He was creative. He was moved forward in things. He wanted people to know where he stood. He wanted people to see that he was ready to take it on. At one point, he said he would never deny Christ, and then the next thing you know, he's denied Christ. He's kind of that bouncy, go from one opinion to the next, go from one status to the next. He was a risk taker. Remember, he stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Took that risk. None of the other disciples did, for whatever reason. He was a risk taker. Moses, we figured that Moses might have been the duct tape kind of person. He didn't really want to make waves. He didn't want to kind of do confrontation. He didn't really seem to embrace that too much, but he did go forward. He was an organizer. He did sort of those things. Thomas, we just heard from Thomas last week. Thomas possibly was a precision tape measure because he wanted proof, and that's what tape measures do. They want to measure things out. They want those proof. They want those things. And Jesus didn't belittle him. Jesus gave him the proof. Touch my hand. Touch my side. Gave him the proof that he needed. So as we look at these things, we realize we have to work together on this. We have to do those sort of things. How do we do that? When we get in that conflict where the hammer says, I'm going to build this wall and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and the tape measure says, no, we have to look at the blueprints first, and we get into this big argument over where this wall is going or where what color carpet to do or what color paint to paint or even going outside of our church, how we deal with people outside of our church, how we use our tools outside. The hammer can't just go and say, you've got to get saved or else. You know, beat them over the head with that hammer. You can't do that. You have to work in a different way. And sometimes our gifting is kind of blended. You know, we're a blend of things. We're not all hammers. We might be hammers and duct tape. We might be hammers and tape measures. We might be a combination of those things. And that's good. That's what we want. But going through our look at how we deal with these things, we've got to be aware of who we're talking to. We've got to be aware of those people who have a different personality than we have. And that's why I figure that one of the things we have to do is we have to consider. If we're going to consider who we are and our personality and our gifting compared to the person that we're upset with or that may be upset with us, that person that we disagree with, we have to consider this kind of thing. And Jesus kind of pointed this out in Matthew 7. Verse 3 says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? We can get so overwhelmed with, we have to do it our way, or we have to measure it out, or we have to paint this and do this, or we have to be steady and faithful and kind of take things slow like the duct tape person might do. Take things a little slower. We get angry about other people because they don't do things our way. Well, they're not going to do things our way because they're different. Their gifting is different and their personality is different. That's what they do. We've got a plank in our eye that says we have to do it our way. We have to look at things this way. We can't do that. So what do we do? Well, the scripture tells us that we need to go and do some dialogue with our brother or our sister. We need to do some dialogue with them. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins." Pretty strong words. Now you have to remember that just because we go and forgive them doesn't mean that we agree with what they've done. They've done whatever it is they've done. We have to be able to be willing to forgive that debt. We have to forgive that thing. That means canceling it out, letting it go. Okay, maybe they do want to paint the wall pink. I don't like pink, but that's what they want to do. I'll forgive them. I'll learn to work with them. Maybe we can work together. Maybe we can come to a compromise together. In Mark chapter 11, the scriptures remind us, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, that so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sin." How many times do we have to forgive them? How many times do we have to help create that dialogue with them? How many times do we have to let this thing go? Scripture tells us in Luke 17, chapter 4, or verse 4 rather, "Even if they sin against you seven times a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." Sometimes that can be a lot of times. And that's okay. That's okay. The point of this is, one of the major points of this is, we have our gift. We have our personality. And sometimes our gift and our personality get in the way of other people's gifts and personalities. We're not all going to be the same. We're not all thinking the same. We're not all doing the same. But if we learn to work together with our gifting, our calling, our personalities, think of what we can do for the kingdom of God. It's not just about this church building. It's about the church at large working together. I love this county because, in one sense, we have a lot of different churches that come together and that are willing to work together. Just because we're different in our theology, because we're different in our ideology, we can work together. Our tools are different than the Methodist Church. We may not agree with them, but we can work together with them. I sit in our clergy meetings every month and I look at the different pastors willing to work together, using their tools to work together with us with them. That's the goal, is to use our tools and our personalities and the things that God has given us to work together. Saw an interesting thing on Facebook a while back. I don't do that much with Facebook, although I'm probably on more than I should be. I think we all are on more than we should be. But we need to recognize that every one of us is different. Everything is different. Our gifts are different. Our talents are different. Our personalities are different. What makes us you-ier is different than somebody else. What makes us who we are. And what I saw was this. The razor blade sharps, but it can't cut a tree. The axe is strong, but it can't cut hair. Everyone is different. Everyone is important according to his or her own unique purpose. Never look down on someone unless you're admiring their shoes. Okay? We're each tools in the toolbox in the kingdom of heaven. We each have that personality. We each have gifts that God has given us. Let's combine them, use them together to build up the kingdom of God, to build up each other, to build up the kingdom of God, the church united together for the most holy faith. And think of what it will look like to people outside the church. What does that look like when we work in unity together? I had a little chuckle yesterday, but it kind of brought this home. We're at the Maple Fest, and my first person that I worked with, sat at the table with, was Joe Yazzie. He's a great young man. Love him to pieces. He decided after we got settled that he was just a little too anxious and wanted to go around and see what all the other tables were like and everything. Okay, fine, go. You know, it's early morning. So he went around. He comes back about a half an hour later, and he puts his bag on the table, and he's showing me what he's got, and he stops in the middle of it and says, "You know something? A lot of people know you." And I said, "Yeah, they do." And he said, "Yeah, and a lot of people like you." Yeah, because my tools and my personality and my gifting is to be out there with people and show them what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's not like Christians fighting all over the place. It's working together. I work together with so many different people in this community. Our opiates task committee, we have lots of people that come in from different faiths, different ideologies, different, but we work together. And they want to meet here because it's a peaceful place. It's a safe place for everybody to meet here. That's what keeping our tools, our personality, and our gifting working together with each other is all about. Can we stand? I would like you to close in prayer with holding another person's hand, another tool's, if you will, holding another tool's hands and praying for each other. Just spend a few moments praying for each other that God would help us to use our tools and our gifting to, first of all, glorify him and to grow the kingdom of God, to raise it up. This church, this body of believers, because we're all different, this community. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given us, each one of us, whether it be prophecy or tongues or administration or discerning of spirits or whatever our gifting is, Lord, thank you for it. And thank you for the personality that you've given us, whether we're a tool, whether we're a hammer, or whether we're a Swiss Army knife or duct tape or tape measure. Whatever our personality combination or individually is, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that you've given us these personalities. I pray, God, that as we use them, we will work together in unity to build up the body, to build up this church, to build up the body of Christ, us, the body of Christ through this county, the body of Christ in each of us, Lord. Thank you that you've called us to unity. Thank you that you've given us this time. I praise you and I thank you. I give you glory for this time, Lord. I pray that you would continue to bless. As we go, Lord, and walk out into our mission field, I pray that you would just help us to use our gifts and our talents and our tools to reach others. Bring them in, Lord. I thank you. Praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we leave, Dawn and Bob, if we can have you just pop to the back. We never receive the missions offering, but if we could just, Brian, could you make sure this gets in there? We're going to pray for our missionaries. And also, we're to say, go, come back here. We're gonna pray for you too. I cannot tell you how thankful I am as a pastor to be able to have somebody whose gifting and calling is counseling. I enjoy working with people. Crisis, we do crisis counseling. But she does the long haul stuff. And she'll come into me and she goes, guess what? I have 7 appointments today. I'm like, you need to see yourself for counseling. But that's because that's her sweet spot. So I want us to pray for the missionaries, but I also want us to pray for Sid. Lord, we do thank you for the missionaries, the two that were shared today, the Contis, the Rollisons. You heard the needs that were expressed as Kimberly presented, and we lift them up by name. We want to see your work in their lives. We thank you for the calling, the tools, the giftings they have to do what they're called to do. And we pray for protection and provision and for open doors, Lord, for ministry. And we thank you that you have raised up. Pastor Sid here is our counseling pastor. Not only raised her up, you have called and gifted and equipped her to do what she does. I thank you that she has pursued the education to sharpen her tools to be more effective, but she also knows that it's the power of the Holy Spirit resting on her using those tools for your glory that makes a difference in a person's life. So we pray, God, that her tools will be used well and wisely through your Holy Spirit, and that many, many people's lives will be touched because of her ministry. Dismiss us now with your grace and keeping, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, ushers.